Okay, turning your Bibles to Isaiah. We're studying the book of Isaiah. Long study. We're in chapter 42. Can everybody hear me okay? All right. Chapter 42. I read this verse last week, but it's just such a powerful verse. I want to start our lesson again with this verse. I love it. I think it pertains to our times. I've read it over and over and over this week. It's so powerful. At verse 14 in chapter 42, God says, I have long time holding my peace. That means God's been patient for a long time. And as we know through the Old Testament, and we saw how God operated with the people of the Old Testament times, that he held his peace a long time. But God has feelings. And at one point in time, he will stop holding his peace. And this is what God is saying right here. He's telling Israel, I've held my peace, I've been still, and I've refrained myself. You know, God has feelings. He gets mad. And he says, I've held my peace, I've refrained myself, I've held back my judgment. I think about this verse and how it pertains to us today. How God is seeing things that are happening in the world today, especially our country, where we are outlawing his word, going against every precept that he ever laid down. Our government is outlawing the things, the principles that we should live by. You know, what God is just sitting up there, no doubt, getting madder by the day. I really see that happening. And we know from Scripture that it's going to reach a point out here sometime, somewhere, that he's going to say, I'm not holding back anymore. He's going to do in the future here sometime, and everybody says, I feel it coming. You know, even people who are not Christians admit something big is going to happen. They feel it. I'm not going to refrain myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I'm going to get mad. I'm going to scream. I'm going to make an output so that everybody hears me. You ladies that's had babies, you were screaming and hollering, and you didn't care who heard you. I know. I heard Bonnie in the other room. So, I will destroy and devour or consume at once. God said there's reaching a time. Now, remember, this is before the Babylonian invasion of Israel. This is long before that happened. But God says, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to reach a point to where I'm going to get so mad that I'm going to be just like a woman screaming, having a baby. And when I do get that mad, I'm going to consume things. I'm going to destroy things. You know, so many people have the idea that God is just an old man sitting up there on some kind of throne, twiddling his thumbs with a long beard, and he's just old and crippled up and helpless. Wrong. They're going to really be amazed when he does turn loose his wrath on this earth. He said, I'm going to devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs, and I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. This is the tribulation period. God is talking about a time in the future when he says, I'm going to shake this earth so great that the mountains are going to come down. The rivers are going to stop. There's going to be massive upheavals and earthquakes. I don't know how much you read the news, but the Geological Survey group here in the United States are issuing warnings now almost every day about an impending major earthquake coming to the middle section of the United States, the New Madrid Fault. And they're putting out a report every day warning everybody that they believe it's coming and coming pretty soon. I'm just telling you. God says, I'm going to do this kind of thing, and I'm going to do it in a big manner, not just locally. I will bring the blind by the way that they knew not. Now he talks about, he goes from that, telling Isaiah to tell the people that I can really get mad, and when I do, things are going to get shook big time. Now he goes and he now starts talking about Israel. He says here, verse 16, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. Now, he's talking about spiritually blind. He's talking about the nation of Israel, the one he gave this word to. And he told them, you're to be my witnesses on this earth. You're to show other people how they're to live. You're to be an example for me upon the earth. They weren't too good of an example. And this is what he says. But there's coming a time. He says, I'm going to bring the blind by a way they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. God says, in spite of everything and all that you've done, and Israel, I'm going to have to whip you some more. In spite of all that, I still love you, but this is what I'm going to do. One day, I'm going to open your blind spiritual eyes, and I'm going to open your deaf spiritual ears to hear this truth, and you're going to know it. And when that does happen, I'm going to make your path straight. I'm going to put you on the road to where you should be, and that you then will become my witnesses as you should be today. But you're not. Any questions? Okay. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, ye are our gods. You know, it's amazing. When you think of Israel coming out of Egypt, seeing firsthand what God did to the Egyptians because of their rebellion against him and against him wanting to have his people turned loose. And the Israelites saw this with their eyes. You know, people tell me all the time, boy, if I had seen those things the Israelites saw, I would change my ways. No, you wouldn't. They saw it, and guess what? As soon as they got out of there, what did they do? They made a golden calf. And this is exactly what he says here. You're going to call on your graven images, and they're not going to do you any good. Look at verse 18. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. God says, I'm calling you to look at the truth. Pay attention. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? You Israelites have been given my word, the written word. You've seen me in the glory and power that I have. And yet, guess what have you done with it? You've turned your backs on me. Now you're worshiping these dumb idols that you make out of gold and silver and wood. You think they're going to help you. You know, we say, oh, that's old Israelite. Let me tell you something. America has got more idols today than Israel ever thought of having. We got every kind of idol you can think of. We've got sports cars as idols. We got these Hollywood people running around here that people pass out over when they get near them. I mean, this is insane. That's an idol. My definition of an idol is this. I've told you that before, but I'm going to say it again. My definition of an idol is anything that you give your love and honor to that belongs to God. If you put that before God, it could be your wife. It could be your husband. It could be your children. You know, I tell Bonnie all the time, I love her more than anything on the face of this earth, and I do. But I don't love her more than God, and I've taught her in our lifetime of 52 years, don't you love me more than God? He comes first. She'll tell you that right now to this day. I tell my children, I love all of you, but you don't come before God. Verse 19, who is blind but my servant or deaf as my messenger? Again, Israel was to be the messenger to the world of God that I sent. Who is blind is he that is perfect or think he's perfect. The humans think that. And blind as the Lord's servant. You know, Israel went around with their nose stuck up in there saying, ha, we got the temple. We got God here. Look who we are. We can't do any wrong. Look how great we are. I know of Christians today that go around and brag. Look what a spiritual level I have attained. I'm above reproach. I can't do any wrong. The minute you do that, you're going to come crashing down. Because that's exactly what Israel did. And guess what? The temple doesn't exist anymore today over there. There is a rock. There's a dome built over there by the Muslims who took it over and now have built their worship center over there. And the Jews aren't even allowed to go up there anymore on that site. Verse 20, seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. The preachers went to him. The Levites preached to him. The priest. You had the great prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, on and on and on. Amos. All of these prophets came to Israel and warned them and told them, straighten your life out so I don't have to chastise you. What's going on in America today? We got Franklin Graham issuing every week some kind of a notice. America, get back to your God. Get back to the God of the Bible. Get back to the rules that you made this country under that come from Scripture. Get back to it before it's too late. How many Americans are deaf? The largest majority, I'm sorry to say. How many are studying their Bible to know what God says? As a man did a survey a short time back, I didn't bring it today, but there was one thing in it that he said that was, it's amusing, but it's pitiful. He went around and he would ask these people, are you a Christian? And if they said yes, he says, I want to ask you some questions. And he had a series of questions. One of them was this. Joan of Arc, who was she in the Bible? 19%. Now listen to this. 19% of these so-called Christians said she was the wife of Noah. Okay? That she was the wife of Noah. This is 19% of these people professing to be Christians. And I don't know what he told them. But anyway, that's pretty pitiful, isn't it? But that just goes to show you how many people don't know God's Word, don't study it, don't understand it, and don't put it into practice. I could tell you some other things. It's just ridiculous. We'll stop with that one. That's enough. Verse 21. The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. God's happy with what He's done. He's put His Word out there. He chose a people that nobody else would have ever chosen, Israelites. They were slaves. They weren't the powerful people of the world at that time. He brings them out of Egypt, and He sets them up as His nation, His chosen nation. And He said, I'm happy with that. This is my choosing, and I'm happy with what I do. He will magnify the law, make it honorable. He gave them the law. The law is honorable. We have the Ten Commandments out here on a piece of stone out here. How many people know it? How many people go by it? You know, that's just part of the law. That's just a very small portion of the law. You get into the Old Testament, Exodus and Deuteronomy and Leviticus. That gives you the rest of the law. But we're not living by the law today. We're living by grace. Because if we tried to live by the law, it would kill us. Every one of those commandments out there would kill every one of us. You can't obey it. You're not perfect. And that's God's perfect law. But we should strive to attain that perfection. God never gives us an excuse in this Bible that, okay, I know you're weak, so I'm letting you off. You don't need to try for it. No. That's just like these athletes. I used to run track. Y'all know how short I am and short-legged. Now, believe it or not, I ran track. And to say I wasn't the fastest guy on the team is an understatement. But, you know, that never stopped me from trying to beat the guy that was the fastest man in the state of Tennessee in my high school years. He broke all the records, and he was my best friend that lived down the street. And he and I would have races. I kept trying. I never could beat that guy. I don't care what I did. But this is what Christians are supposed to do. You're supposed to keep at it trying. You cross that finish line. Don't ever give up. Verse 22, But this is a people robbed and spoiled. He's talking about Israel now. He said, look here, these people are robbed and they're spoiled, or they're stripped would be a better translation of the Hebrew here. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivered, for a spoil, and none saith restore. He said, here, take a look at Israel, these people that I have brought out, and I've set up as the nation of the world that should be my witness and my testimony. But look what's happened to them. All the enemies run them over, take them for a spoil, they rob their goods, they put them in prison, and it goes, the cycle goes on and on and on. And nobody's saying, hey, restore Israel at that time. God says, what's wrong? Well, they've disobeyed my law. They've disobeyed my precepts. This is what America's going to be saying one day when it happens. Oh, God, why did you do that to us? I mean, we got a Bible in every home. We used to have them in hotels and motels. Now you can't have them in there because somebody goes down to the desk and says, I'm an atheist, and I'm going to protest you having a Bible. So they take them all out of the hotels. It's happening every week in this country, by the way, in case you don't know. Our military chaplains are getting out by the droves because they're told, you can't preach Jesus Christ. You can't tell people in your counseling sessions about Jesus Christ that can change your life. They're told you can't do that. I don't know how many of y'all know that, but our military chaplains right now are really under pressure. And a lot of them who are within a few years of retiring are getting out because they say they're not going to put up with it anymore. I know that from firsthand information, by the way. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and who will hear for the time to come? God says, who's going to listen to me, what I'm trying to say? Who's going to hear for the time to come? Are you going to listen to what I'm telling you about what the future is going to be like if you don't change? How many people in America today are listening to men like Franklin Graham and are saying, hey, you know, maybe we need to make a change? How many are listening to this message? Verse 24, who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? God asked a question of the people. Who's given Jacob for a spoil or something that's taken hold of and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he said, I'll answer that question for you. I did it. I'm the one that did it. He against whom we have sinned. God said, and here's the reason I did it. Because of their sin, their rebellion against me. I did it. I'm responsible. If you want to point the finger at somebody, you point it at me. Who's America going to point the finger at when things start crashing around our ears here in this country? Who's going to point the finger at who? You going to point it at the president? You going to point it at Congress? Oh, they did it. Are you going to point it at somebody else, another group or something? No. That's not who you should point it out. I can tell you who did it. God did it. He raised this country up for a purpose, and it's not serving our purpose. 15 years ago on this very date, we all know where we were. Wherever you were, over 3,000 innocent people were killed in a mass attack upon this country, the largest since World War II, by our enemies, whom they will not name today, and our government heads. They killed over 3,000 innocent people. And it's still going on. 15 years later, the war against this enemy is still going on. It's the longest war fought in American history. And we're still doing it. How much have we changed? What have we done for God to get on our side and help us against these enemies? How many churches are filled? We had 600 and something people in our first service this morning. We should have had 700, 800. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things going downtown. In Nashville, you got football games. You got, I'm not even going to try to name all the things because I don't know them all and don't care. But instead of people being interested in studying, growing in grace and knowledge, interested in all the worldly things. Neither were they obedient unto his law. He whom against we have sinned, that's who did it. For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore, he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it has set him on fire round about, yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. Verse 25, God says, let me tell you what I've done here. In my anger and in my fury, I've brought all this warfare around them. Enemies have captured you, taken your goods. You don't pay any attention to it. Set this fire around you, all this stuff that's going on that's hurting you, and yet you don't pay any attention to it, like it hadn't even burned you. It hadn't touched you. It hasn't gone on you yet. Yet he laid none of it to heart. Didn't change one bit. What's going on in America today that we see these things going on that absolutely are bringing our country down in a massive whirlwind, and it's burning us left and right, and God is trying to wake us up, and how many people are waking up in this country? They're not. I'm sorry to say, yeah, they're not. Every week I see America go down further and further and further, and I won't even sit up here and bring all the details to you. You know it, a lot of you, if you pay attention to what's going on. America needs a spiritual change. Without it, it's going to go down just like the nation of Israel. Now, chapter 43, I'm not going to start. And I'm going to tell you why. Everybody, if you study your Bible intently, you will have favorite chapters. Everybody has favorite verses. I'm talking about favorite chapters, okay? This is one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. This chapter should be read in the United Nations. This chapter should be read in Congress of our government. This chapter should be read in the West Wing looking at our president with both eyes. Because this chapter really brings out the nation of Israel as God sees it. He loves his nation. He loves that group of people. Are they in fellowship with him today? No. But they are back in their land. And he's setting the stage up for them to be, just like he said, I'm going to open your ears. I'm going to open your eyes. You're going to see the truth. And you're going to be the people who are going to be the leading nation of the world. Now, chapter 43 brings this out. There are so many people in this world today. The Israeli ambassador to the UN this week got up in front of the UN and he made this statement. He said, anti-Semitism, which means against the Jews, he said, is growing stronger by the day in this world, in every nation. And he said, I'm seeing it all the time. It's getting more prevalent, and stronger and stronger. It's in our country right now. Oh, you know, it's terrible to say that, but chapter 43 is absolutely a marvelous chapter, and I want to take our time and go over it because, like I say, it's one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. We'll learn a lot from it. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this study. Thank you for the knowledge you've given us when it seems so few people understand these things, but yet you've given it to us, and we thank you for it. Help us to use it in a way that glorifies you and helps you, Lord, to make this world aware of what's coming if it doesn't change. I thank you for every person here. Give them a blessing this week, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Y'all have a great week, and you call me if you need me.